Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
There are some fans, they are happy, I'm happy for them, you know. It's the first time I leave Ivory or Emirates and they are happy. It's the first time. I left Ivory, they were crying. I left Emirates, they were crying. They were walking the street with the head low. So finally today they sing, the scarves, you know, it's nice for them. It's nice for them. Honestly, it's nice for them. It's a big club. It's a big club. Do you think I enjoy the fact that a big club like Arsenal is not winning big trophies? I'm not enjoying that. Arsene Wenger is not a small manager, he's a big manager. So to have that record of winning so many matches and don't lose so many matches is something that is not, it's not normal. That's not normal. Normal is win, lose, draw. It's not normal. And I really don't care about it.
Well, there you go. Interesting dissection of the game by Jose Mourinho right there. Ryan, your take?
When the second goal went in, that was kind of the same thing. We didn't deserve to win. We didn't really turn up. We didn't really do anything. I don't think they did much, but in the especially last 15 minutes of that first half, we just seemed to not do anything, sit back, didn't track anybody, made it easy for them to keep the ball and work little pockets. And that kind of carried on into the second half. And, you know, 10 minutes into the second half, it's job done for them. So, yeah, but we never really looked like getting back into it or doing much of anything. Playing three, what I call now holding centre midfielders, I think when I saw the team sheet, you know, I'd feel a little bit cheated if I was a away fan going to watch that. But yeah, I think we can all safely say now that Jose's put all his eggs in the Europa basket. So that's what it is.
What's your take, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising that Arsenal really had such a good game, I would say. I was expecting more out of United. I think the comments from Mourinho are surprising to me because if you listen to him, it's the opposite of what he was doing earlier in the season. Here he was praising his team. He was saying the players played well, we had the better chances, which, quite frankly, I don't think is even true. Like, he was just taking his team through the ringer earlier in the season. Sometimes it didn't even seem like it was necessary early in the season. Now he's the opposite. Now he's, like, coddling them. It's clear that all they're trying to do now, they being United, Manchester United, yeah, are trying to do is win the Europa League.
And if you think about it,
Louis van Gaal was fifth place, and no one was happy. So are people happy now?
Yeah, I think there's just damage limitation. Like, he's obviously the manager of the club that I support, but still, like, I don't know. I don't think he can ever say something that doesn't have, like, a little bit of a jab underneath it.
Yeah, his tone, you can never really tell. he can swear blind to the cows come home that he's being sincere there and
right
thing. But, yeah, it's just that little undertone of... because it wasn't long ago he was saying that Arsene Wenger was the master of being a loser. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
That was just a few years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you guys aren't familiar with it, it's what? How many games now? It was 12 games before this or something like this?
Yeah.
That Wenger had never beaten Mourinho.
Yeah.
It was 5 wins and 7 draws or something like that, which is really surprising. And, of course, this goes to Mourinho's years in Chelsea, of course, and includes that as well. But to go that long without having lost against one of the top 4, I mean, at least up until this year, clubs in England... I mean, that's really impressive,
yeah.
And it was a dig. If you didn't think it was a dig, you're wrong. He was definitely saying, you know what, hats off to you, but you know what, it still took you 13 tries,
yeah,
and that's a joke.
Yeah,
He didn't say it that way, but that's what he means.
Yeah, that's what he's implying, yeah.
All right, so well, I don't think there's much else we can say about that
just,
game.
I think just to sum it up, fair play to Arsenal. They got 3 points, we didn't. They showed up for half an hour of the game, and we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I had to turn the TV off after the second goal, and then it was just so, 3 minutes after the first one, and I had to turn the TV off for a few minutes to calm myself down, but after that I was just like, well, you gotta get what you deserve.
Yeah. But the first goal was a fluke goal, no? It was a long strike by
Xhaka.
Very
lucky, but that's all you need.
Came off under Herrera's back. It looped into the goal. I mean, there was no way that De Gea could have saved that. It was luck. I mean, or however you want to say it. It certainly wasn't what he was trying to do. There's no pinballing effect that you're trying to do there. And if the strike had not hit Herrera, I don't think that was going to go in.
Right.
And then the next one was just like
Welbeck
right after that. And Welbeck, the former United man.
Yeah, great cross, great header. Fair play to him. Well done.
So you're saying in the car around, but you think Rooney's out? That's it. Like, I mean, his performance today was terrible.
And one thing I want to say as well, like, fair play to Danny Welbeck for celebrating as well. Like, I'm on the same thing as Lee Dixon on this. Like, these strikers that score against their old clubs and then don't celebrate. It's like, hang on a minute. This club that you've just scored for these fans that have paid the money, that have probably increased your wages, is the reason you've gone there, is celebrate the goal. Like, you just scored.
So you don't think when Frank Lampard scored for City when he left for Chelsea, that first goal, maybe he should have... I mean, I think that was respectful.
But that's different.
I think that's a little different.
Welbeck's been around. He's been at Liverpool as well, right? I mean,
he was a United boy, wasn't he?
7 years old.
Oh, was it United? Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, Anyway, he's more of a... I get the feeling he's
it's
more of a
journeyman.
It's his
third season now with Arsenal. It's not his first.
I was just happy to see it. Fair play to him.
All right, so let's go back, reverse ourselves to Monday, Watford versus Liverpool. Remember, Khan?
I had this as a 2-1 to Watford, and you know what? Watford actually played really well. Just couldn't stick the ball in the net. But fantastic goal from Emre Can.
Yeah, one of the goals of the season for sure. A nice little bicycle kick to really top off the game for Liverpool.
You had who was it in the last minute? Like Prudel, in the last minute rattles the bar. I really thought Watford were going to get something out of that game, but Liverpool didn't really play that well. But again, good result for them. 1-0, job done.
Yeah. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. All things Premier League soccer. You can get in contact with us 4342 at 49470. Let us know, what teams do you support? Let us know how you think they're doing. If you're a City fan, obviously you'll be beaming this weekend. Pretty much everything went your way. Obviously, there's a game in hand tomorrow at Chelsea, so we'll see how that goes. Or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/ Blokes on the Bench. So we did have one other game, and that was West Ham versus Spurs. I'll pass this one over to Alex, because this was kind of a bit of a shocker to me. I didn't think the result was going to...
Yeah, I mean, you can call it a shocker. If you've seen the way that Tottenham have been playing over the last few games, it seems like the momentum has starting to slow. Like, they had a tough game against Crystal Palace when they were on the road in the midweek about a week and a half ago. They played very well last weekend against Arsenal, no doubt about that, and that was obviously the North London Derby, and they won that one. But for me, the talk about the team, the narrative has changed, and that's that. Are Tottenham, do they have the right mindset? Is Walker potentially leaving the club starting to get into people's heads?
Have you heard anything about that? What's going on?
So
that came out of left field.
The Independent ran a story with no quotes, which, it seems to be typical English press. No quotes, no nothing, essentially saying, well, so Walker didn't get selected for the FA Cup semifinal against Chelsea, which was kind of surprising. Kieran Trippier started over him, and then there was another game where it was surprising that Trippier played. And what this comes down to is supposedly there's some fighting between Walker and Pochettino, that Walker can't play two games, one on the weekend and then one in the midweek. So if you're playing you can't play back to back or three games. If you can only play two in a week, not three in a week. Or if you're going to play two in a week, you can't be back to back in terms of within 4 days or so. And so I mean, Walker's one of the fastest players in the league, and but the question is, can he recover from a big game? And Pochettino doesn't think so. But the reality is, Walker has done that for years before Pochettino, so I could see why he'd start to get
a little annoyed.
Annoyed, yeah. And so, honestly, I mean, Walker, he is. I would love to keep him, but in terms of last week, I think we were saying, like, right. I was saying, like, you know what, if some of the players were to leave, I'm okay with that, especially with the money that's being talked about. Walker, $35 million is where they're saying the numbers start. That's a huge amount of money, and you can buy some really big players. And Trippier, he's more than a decent replacement. I mean, he's above average.
He's had a couple of decent games, yeah, that I've seen of him, yeah. I think he's still learning his trade a little bit on the defensive positional side, but, you know, his final third work is very good. I think he's a better crosser than Kyle.
That's
Walker,
exactly what I was going to say.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think he's been all right. But his thing with Spurs, and I saw it a little bit last year as well, and actually the year before that, where I don't think the squad is deep enough across all areas where they could sustain what they were doing. I would say up until the end of March, really, because we've seen them against Swansea. They really had to grind that out. Crystal Palace, they looked a little bit weary. Look, like you said, against Arsenal, they played really well. But it's not, if you can't motivate yourself and run on adrenaline for that game, then you don't deserve to wear that shirt, in my opinion. But yeah, this West Ham game was, they just never got out of second gear. And I don't know if it's like too many games, like. Poch doesn't change. He doesn't change his personnel as much as you might think he does. You know, you talk about like Trippier in for Walker and stuff like that. So Walker started this game and actually bought him off and brought Trippier on, which I don't really know why. But yeah, they're like, you know, when you really go through that team, it's always the same two centre backs. You know. I know Rose has been injured, but you've got Davis and Cole Walker. Midfield kind of picks itself, right? Dier, Dembele, Eriksen, Dele Alli.
Well, Dembele didn't start for this one. It was Wanyama and Dier.
Okay.
But going back to the Walker thing, it's like, why did they bring in Trippier? I think that it was exactly what you said earlier, is that he's a better crosser. And so late in the game, maybe they could get a cross in and get it to the head of either Dele Alli or Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't work out that way with West Ham winning 1-0. Kind of a scrappy goal for Lanzini. It just kind of fell to him in the box, kind of pinballed around. Yeah. Tottenham had the lion's share of the possession.
It was a lot in the middle, though, wasn't it?
They
really didn't do any of that, like, penetrating through the last man in midfield. I thought Noble played really well. Didn't do a lot, like, on the ball, but what he did off the ball was, like, really effective in front of his back four. So, yeah, he had a great game. But, yeah, I was really surprised. I really thought they would have done the business against West Ham, but...
There was one play that I wanted to talk about, which was there was a... Lloris came out, and he pretty much took out Lanzini. And it was last man. It could very well have been a red card. He got just a fraction of the ball. I mean, maybe off his knees, but it's like, wow, that is a lot of body coming through. I mean, they were lucky to have 11 on the pitch after that part of the of the game. Yeah. I mean, it was a close one.
Especially when, look, as far as I'm concerned, when a keeper comes out of his area, it's that close, like, they're not in control of that situation. So if you want to, like, kind of dissect the rules of what's, you know, being reckless and not in control and potentially harming him, that's it for me. You come out like that, he's got that little squint in his eyes like he's just trying to maybe get something on it, and it's more Lanzini just prods it, it brushes him and goes out for a corner, but he gets absolutely taken out. I think it's a foul.
And at that point, if it's a foul and it's last man, yeah, he did get a fraction of a touch on it. But yeah, I mean, there was some uncharacteristic play. There was another play by Enderweireld later on, where he just gave up the ball in the box and Lloris had to bail them out.
It's just sloppy. It's not necessarily like physically fatigued as well. It's the mental thing that I think's got to Spurs a little bit. They have to win. It's just so happened, like, all these fixtures, they've always been the second team. So it's like they haven't really been able to apply too much pressure. This would have been one. They could have applied that pressure and then, you know, Chelsea don't play till Monday. And you know, and their first opportunity to really apply that pressure, they've squandered it. So, yeah, shame for Spurs, but they'll finish second. They'll be, you know, when they look back, you know, from Dubai on the sunbeds, they'll be happy with their second place.
And if you think about it, it's they're moving in the right direction. Last year they blew second place late on the last match day against Liverpool, of course. No, sorry, not Liverpool, against Newcastle, and that was a tough way to really end the season. And if you look at what they did down the stretch, they really fell apart. This year, yeah, maybe it's been tougher, but you know what? They've been getting results. This is their first loss. They won 9 before. This is the first loss in 10 games. I mean, they've been playing really well. They got further in the FA Cup than they have in a long time. And the team is going the right direction under Pochettino. You have to be pleased as a Spurs supporter with everything that's going on. The only thing is, hey, you know what? This is the Premier League, and you know what? Everyone else is going to reload with bigger name players. There's going to be some huge transfers. I would expect some of the biggest names in all of the world to come to the Premier League. I mean, there's talk about Griezmann coming, maybe even Neymar. I mean, there's some huge names that potentially could be coming.
The other thing that I would say about your team, though, is, like, next season you have a really young team that, okay, you didn't win the league this year. I mean, it's looking like you're not going to, right?
No, that's
but come next season, you've already been in second place twice?
Nah, they were third
last year. So you've been in second place. You know what that pressure feels like. And you got a young squad.
Yeah.
Let's not forget how old, like, Harry Kane is, Dele Alli. They're all young players, like 22, 23.
Yeah, they're all up for, like, you know, best young
next
player.
Next year, right. Next year they're gonna know what that pressure feels like. It's not like this is like, you know, babes in the woods. They're gonna go at it next year.
And, I think Chelsea just had too big of a lead. What was it, 13 points at one point, you know, earlier, like late in the winter or midwinter. I mean, it's just something that was not that it was too much to overcome. It doesn't never say, you know, never possible, but it was, you know, in hindsight now you could say it was too much to overcome. I mean, Tottenham even playing some of their best football ever, they still couldn't catch up because, you know what, Chelsea continued to grind out results.
They've really used their, I think this is honestly the biggest factor here, they've really used their squad well, Chelsea. Haven't had major injuries for long, sustained periods of the season, so they've been able to rotate quite a bit, especially in, like, midfield, up front, front three.
But have they been rotating?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think it's the lack of Europe, which has really helped them.
Can't they find his team? Like, back when, basically, when they beat us.
I mean, yeah, they played the same starting 11 more than, like, more than anyone else.
The recent schedule, look, everyone knows, once you get over that Christmas period, you've probably got a month where it's back to somewhat normality, and then it's just thick and fast. Every 4 days, you're playing a game. And I think, honestly, that kind of schedule has probably hurt Tottenham a little bit. Because, like I said, I think in certain aspects of their team, it's just not quite deep enough. But that's an easy fix. As long as the owners are willing to put their hands in their pockets, that's a pretty easy fix.
But do you think they will with the new stadium?
That's going to be one of the things I was going to say is next year they have to play all their home games in Wembley. It's now confirmed that's happening.
Yeah.
And so Wembley's a bigger pitch. They didn't play very well at Wembley in the Champions League. Obviously, they got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
They then played in the Europa League and promptly got knocked out as well against, like, a not very good Belgian side.
Right.
And so can this young team play essentially in the national stadium with 90,000-plus people there? You could get a decent amount of people coming to support the away squad, of course, as well.
Yeah.
Because you have so many tickets that are going to be available. I mean, really, if you look at it, I mean, Tottenham, I mean, everything's going the right direction, but the Wembley thing concerns me for sure.
All right.
Yeah. Time will tell.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Anything else on about Tottenham that you kind of want to add? Or any?
No, I mean, just to reiterate, I mean, very happy with the way things are going. Hey, we didn't win the league, or at least most likely we're not going to win the league, but everything's looking positive other than maybe the Wembley concern and maybe, you know, a right back leaving or something like that. But I see the squad getting better next year and making a run at the title. And you know what? That's and winning a cup, which is something that the team hasn't done in a few years now since they won the League Cup. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. So we come to Saturday, Man City versus Crystal Palace. And, well, Crystal Palace got an absolute...
hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, David Silva, real nice finish after 2 minutes. So it was only 1-0 at halftime, but City just completely dominated possession. I don't think Crystal Palace, like, strung three passes together in that first half. It was all City. They come out second half. Vincent Kompany on the score sheet with a fantastic finish. Absolute great finish.
In the interview afterwards, you said he was like, I've just closed my eyes and took a swing at it.
Yeah. It's funny, since he's been back from injury, he's had two attempts at goal and scored two goals, so that's not a bad return.
And that's in the Premier League. He also scored in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So, three goals.
Yeah. And then De Bruyne with a nice finish. Raheem Sterling, I guess it was a decent finish. Can't stand that kick.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good finish. And then Otamendi with a great header in stoppage time for a 5-0 rout. You know, I mean, Palace, I think, are going to be okay, but it wasn't great. I mean, their outlet ball to like Benteke was like non-existent. He didn't do enough. Townsend was pretty poor.
But Palace, they're going to be okay. I mean, they could still get relegated if all things kind of all the cards fell the right way or the wrong way.
Yeah,
I see that happening.
I think in the past month, I think they've probably done enough that they're going to.
They switched off. It seems like they kind of gave up a little bit.
So, yeah, well done, City.
Does that really change anything, though? I mean, do you think they're going to bounce into third or something and Liverpool will bounce out? Or like?
Well, I mean, you know, City, I think it's third place for City to lose right now. And then you got Liverpool just behind them and, you know, well, it was United and Arsenal following up, but more like Arsenal following up now. So, you know, City, Pep's first year, you know, there's a lot of talk that, like, you know, who was it? What's his name? Pellegrini won it in his first year. I think Mancini second in his first year, or third, actually. So, yeah, I think Pep will at least want third place to, you know, probably feel that that's a good start, right? We're in the Champions League, you know, stuff to build on. So he'll definitely consider third place.
You think it's been a learning curve for him?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like we've always said, and I've always said this about him, like he's always used to walking into a team that pretty much picks itself.
Right.
And, you know, with City, hasn't really had that. You know, he started the year off with all the Yaya Toure nonsense going on. Kevin De Bruyne was the best player in the Premier League for the first seven games, and he absolutely disappeared.
Right.
And he's coming back into a bit of form now. Just little strange things. Obviously, the goalkeeper scenario. There's been a lot of off-field talk and skepticism about what he's doing and who he's picking, but
yeah, but that's,
he'll figure it out.
He's a lot of the negative criticism that Pep has received. I mean, you can only point to himself for why that's happened. The goalie thing, the Yaya Toure thing, they're not really defensible in my eyes, and it just doesn't make sense. And he comes in and he's like Donald Trump. He's like, oh, I thought it'd be easier than this. I can't believe that this job is hard. It's like, everyone knows the presidency is hard. Everyone knows that being a coach in the Premier League is hard. Why do you think
that comes off the back of that interview he gave? I think it was like maybe first week of January after they'd lost like 3 in 5 games or something like that. And he says something about, I'm not good enough, da 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 da. Maybe I'll just, no one will ever find me. I'm just going to go and
retire on the golf course. It was very odd.
Very strange.
But I mean, if you're a City fan, you have to be happy with the way.
Yeah,
that the team looks right now. It really was a total effort by the team and comprehensive. Sure, they were maybe a little sluggish in the first half and missed some chances, but they had 26 total shots.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy. Yeah. I mean, they had so many chances, and they just started to take them in the second half. De Bruyne, you were talking about him earlier. You know, he's hit the post more than any other player in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, his season, if you could change, you know, some of these shots just 2 inches left or right,
he
could be up there with the league leaders in terms of goals. So, I mean, for me, I mean, you have to be pleased with the way things are going if you're a City fan. But still, I mean, what are we going to say for, like, going into next year? Like, are they the favorites?
They're
probably
up there.
Not.
I mean, I think they're up there.
They're up there, because, yeah. I mean, no doubt. You expect them to be in the top four.
I mean, the biggest surprise for me yesterday was it was 5-0, and that new kid, Jesus, didn't get on the score sheet because he's looked absolutely brilliant. Seems like every time he plays, he scores. But he did a lot for a couple of goals, actually, like winning the ball back high up the pitch, winning the turnover, getting it out wide. So, yeah, I mean, he looks like the real deal. I mean, if I was a City fan, I'd be like, somebody comes knocking, like, you know, pay us 60, 65 million for Aguero, take it, because this kid can fill the boots, I think.
Well, speaking of Aguero, he wasn't even on the bench.
No.
What happened?
He's probably carrying a niggle, isn't he? He's always got
maybe
a niggle.
But still, that's weird. You would think he's at least on the bench.
All right, guys, so the next game, Bournemouth versus Stoke. I didn't get to see this game.
No, it turned into a semi-decent game towards the end, and it was a funny thing. First time in, I think, since like 2014 that both sides have scored an own goal in a game.
Yeah, that's called teamwork, helping each other out, right?
But it was so strange because I think, what was it? Bournemouth went 1-0 up, then it was 2-1 Stoke, and then back to 2-2. It was just really strange. But yeah, 2-2. Pretty decent result for Bournemouth. They'll take that. To be honest, they only want to pick up 3 draws from now until the end of the season. They're fine. I think they're fine now anyway. But yeah, and like I said, Stoke, one of those teams, not really anything to play for. So yeah, I mean, 2-2. I bet both sets of fans are pretty happy with that.
I mean, how do you feel about Bournemouth this year overall?
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a Bournemouth fan, I'm pretty pleased with the way the season's gone. I mean, they're right there in the middle of the table. They're looking, is pretty good, and they've had some big wins. I mean, they've come out and taken out some of the big dogs.
They done over Arsenal, wasn't it?
They did Arsenal. I'm pretty sure they did Liverpool as well.
I think Arsenal
was a draw.
Came back
Arsenal
3-3, didn't they? Still, they've had some really good results,
especially at home.
And the thing is with Bournemouth as well, I think they're the lowest spenders in the league, lowest wages in the league. It's a small club. I mean, when you think about where they were like 7-8 years ago, it's ridiculous what they've done to get. Every year that team finishes the season and they're still in the league for the next year, those fans are, it's like they've won everything.
And it was played
I mean, you got to think of how many leagues are beneath the Premier League. Sometimes when you think of, like, Premier League and you're finished 10th, 11th, you're thinking, oh, you know, they're mid-table. But they're still in the best, the biggest league with what? I don't know. How many leagues are beneath them that they can fall into?
Three, in it.
I mean, we're watching Aston Villa fall into the abyss right now. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Vitaly Stadium, which is where Bournemouth play, they had 11,000 fans on hand this past weekend, and that's pretty much a sellout.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a pretty small, I mean, that JPJ just down the road, John Paul Jones Arena for UVA, that's thousands bigger than that, and that's an indoor stadium, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
fair play to them. They're going to be happy with this year. You know, and again, the more they keep going, I think it's a really well-run football club economically. They don't overstretch themselves, and they're never going to. But I'd like to see him maybe spend 25 million this summer on a couple of real key players, and I think they can do the business. Keep King fit, because he seems to score every time he steps on a pitch. I think they're going to be...
But where do you think they need some shoring up? I mean, for the most part, I feel like they have young players pretty much everywhere. In some ways, it's almost like if you bring in new people that are veterans, it's almost like you're going to stifle the growth of who you have. Sure, you need like veterans and things like that. I'm not saying don't buy anyone, but...
Yeah, it's a tough one. Because they actually have some decent players that are actually on long-term injury right now. Like Wilson, he'll be back for next year. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they go ahead and finalize a deal for Jack Wilshere and maybe
I think that's their best move.
What do you think of Wilshere? You think he's been doing okay?
He's at the right club. I would say he's been all right. Still, the stats aren't brilliant. I think he's, scored once and set up two, which isn't... Like, we used to talk about Jack Wilshere, who was scoring goals, setting up goals, everything. Every other shot in the Arsenal team was from Jack Wilshere.
But he's more the guy that gets, like, the hockey assist. The assist of the assist.
Yeah.
And he's still impacting the games. I mean, more often than not, he's one of the best players on the field for Bournemouth. I don't see him going back to Arsenal. He pretty much failed there. I mean, that's why he's on loan at Bournemouth. I don't know if he's done enough for Arsenal to say, you know what, we're going to play him over.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't done enough.
Coquelin or someone like that, who's not even starting himself. You know, it's like Arsenal pretty deep. So,
All right, well, let's move on to Burnley versus West Brom Albion. Volk's getting on the score sheet twice.
Yeah, it was another weird game. Two teams that, you know, West Brom, obviously, they've taken their foot off the gas a lot in the last 4 years.
You were saying
they're
on the beach, right?
Yeah. But, you know, 2-2 away from home at Burnley. Burnley's a tough place to go and get a result. I mean, I think Burnley will be happy with the point. Again, they're another team like Bournemouth. Just, you know, we'll take two or three draws from now until the end of the season and we'll be just fine.
It's funny with West Bromwich. They're usually around this area, like during the summer doing their tours.
Yeah.
Like you'll find them playing, if you look up on their summer schedule, they're playing the Richmond Kickers.
Yeah, they did that last year as well.
It's crazy. Semi-pro team.
Yeah.
We should go see them.
But, I mean, yeah, going back to the game, I mean, you've got to be happy if you're Burnley. I mean, you score in the 86th minute to tie it up. I mean, two heads by Vokes, who hasn't necessarily had the greatest of seasons, but it's a draw, and you know what? You're not getting relegated, which I think was a concern for them coming into this season.
Yeah.
And... you know,
it's a huge motivation for the week's training coming up as well. When you're 2-1 down, 5 minutes to go, and you're the one that scores to get the point. It's not like they were 2-1 up, thinking about 3 points and, we're going to be safe, and then conceding. That's so deflating and so much more pressure is put on you. Mm. When you're 2-1 down with 5 minutes to go and you get that goal and the whole place erupts and you get out of there with a point, training this week is a lot more relaxing. Even though the outcome's exactly the same from those two scenarios, training's a lot more relaxing. You know,
well, the training team aren't on your neck with the manager coming down on you as well.
It just relieves a little bit of pressure from everywhere.
Right.
From all around, staff, everything.
And they get more points at home, which is what they've done all season.
Yeah.
They've had more points scored at home, I think, than anyone else. So, or maybe that's West Brom, actually, sorry. But either way, Burnley have been very, very good at home. And, I mean, hey, get the draw. You don't need to get on the bus here, but go home, and it's been a good season overall. You're in the middle of the table. Reload for next year. I don't think that they have quite the future that Bournemouth have in terms of young players and talent. But they do have – they probably are a better team right now, maybe, but I think that Bournemouth are probably looking more on the up.
Right. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. So, let me see what other games we have. Oh, Hull City versus Sunderland. This was a surprise.
Shocker.
Shocker. It was Hull City just didn't show up.
It was bad. I knew they had a couple of good chances in the first half, and I just had a feeling that it was going to come back to bite them in the behind. But how annoying must it be to be a Sunderland fan? Like, you don't win a game, you don't score a goal in, like, I don't know what it is, 10,000 gazillion hours of football, and then you get relegated last week again.
Then you show up.
And then you show up and win 2-0 away
on the road.
On the road against a team that hasn't lost at home since, like, January 1st. I mean, If I was a Sunderland fan, I'd just be like, I don't get it. I don't get what the universe is doing to us. But
yeah, but I mean, if you've got to be more displeased if you're a Hull fan here, though.
Yeah,
I mean, this puts them in peril because coupled with the Swansea win, which we'll get to.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I honestly thought the way Hull were playing, the penalty save late last week, you know, I think that was against Southampton when it Tadic missed. Jakupovic saved it in the last minute. It's a massive point, and I was like, oh, that's just going to spur them on. They're going to be just fine. They've got Sunderland next. You must have been licking your chops on the training ground. And
well, do you think that they almost like put it in the bag and said, you know what, we've got this one. They didn't really show up?
I think that management wouldn't do that, but players do tend to think
make assumptions,
way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the bottom of the relegation zone, obviously Sunderland are out, but those two other positions, like... Is that still up for grabs?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for Middlesbrough. I mean, we speak about the fixtures in a bit, but they go to Chelsea tomorrow night. Or Chelsea come to them, I can't remember. But
it doesn't really matter.
They play Chelsea. They could be playing down on the Crown Meadow. It won't matter.
Yeah.
It's in Chelsea.
Right, okay. Well, yeah. So I think, you know, that's going to be writing on the wall for them.
So, yeah, we see Middlesbrough going down. They're 19th right now.
I think it's between Hull Swansea.
Yeah, it's Hull Swansea and Swansea are 35 points in 17th place, and Hull have 34 points in 18th place. So there's a one-point differential. Coming into the game, Hull had a four-point... they had a two-point lead over them.
Yeah.
And then they lost, coupled with the Swansea win, which we'll get to here.
Yeah.
And now they're in the drop zone.
Massive result, that, for Swansea, yeah. But shocking,
and Hull had been looking so good the last few months just to claw their way up out of the relegation zone, and then...
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're looking at those fixtures, you probably would have said Everton away win, wouldn't you? You probably would have gone Everton to get a win, Hull to get a win. Now, what would that have put it at? 5 points.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you'd have gone with, but good old Hull, making it nice and dramatic all the way to the last game. Appreciate that.
But this is what makes the concept of relegation so great, because here we are, we're watching the game between the at the time 17th place team and the 20th place team, like it's the biggest game on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get that in American sports, because the concept of relegation just doesn't exist. When you're watching, to use an American football reference, I don't know, say like the Lions play, I don't know, someone else that's horrible. It's like no one cares. You just switch the channel.
Yeah.
Here, it's actually must-see TV with English football.
It's usually like the biggest game of either club's season when it gets down to the last, you know, four games to go. And it's the biggest game of the... That was Hull's biggest game of the season. And blew it.
I mean, there is part of me that... It's not that I disagree with it, but I just feel so sorry for teams, because it's not just the players and the manager that are affected. It's the people who work at the club, like, who are just the caretakers and all the rest of it, because money doesn't come in.
No, yeah.
But it does have this kind of rebirth effect of, like, you know, at the start of the season, you get these fresh teams, some of which we've never seen in the Premier League, come in, and it just adds a new dynamic and kind of switches things up a bit. So it's kind of out with the old, in with the new. But
yeah, Brighton are certainly going to be one of those coming in wide-eyed, never having played a game in the Premier League or in the top league ever.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they react next year, playing some of the biggest names in the world when no one's even
heard of them.
Yeah, you know what the struggle is for a club like that, even smaller than like your Bournemouth and your Burnleys, right? Brighton and Hove Albion. The biggest struggle for them is going to be that every single weekend, every single game, every week is a cup final. Every week is a cup final. And having to get yourself up for that week in, week out, 38 games.
What is the percentage of teams that come into like the first year that get bitted back out?
For getting relegated again. I bet it's quite
probably high, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is coming up to 20 to 7. All right, guys, right, welcome back. So, Andy, the next game then is Swansea game. Swansea versus Everton, which I thought, to be perfectly honest, you think that Everton would have had a clear shot to beat Swansea, right?
It was on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's away from home, but league position, the way Swans have been playing, I know they got a point at United and that, but before that hadn't really been playing very well in the last three or four games. So, yeah, I fancied Everton to do the job there. But, again, Everton didn't show up.
They had a majority of the possession but didn't really do much with it.
Proved again, like we said last week, because who they play, Chelsea, won it, didn't show up, got battered. And here, didn't show up against, you know, a pretty poor team. But, yeah, it was nice to see Swansea actually rally a little bit. But, again, said it last week, Everton on the beach already. Four games to go on the beach.
Sad.
Sad, isn't it?
It is, because like, you think, okay, they think, okay, we've done okay, just save ourselves. But is that really how you want to go out?
Exactly.
Oh, we're okay? No, you play for pride at this point to get maybe a little bit further up the table.
Yeah, not only that. Look, your fans have paid good money.
They're still showing up.
To go to Wales on a Saturday, you know, afternoon / evening and come watch your team, and you do that. I mean, it's poor.
And all the jokes about the beach and all that, I see that as more of a mindset for like a mid-table club, not a club like Everton, which are probably the seventh best. Well, they are the seventh best team in the league, and one that has aspirations to be in the Champions League or at least in the Europa League and playing in Europe. And the idea that you're just going to not show up for the last few weeks, I mean, that's just not an option if you're going to keep the players like Lukaku.
Yeah. I think the most frustrating thing is 2 weeks ago they sewn up seventh place, right? So they're going to be playing Europa. Why not go, okay, we've got five games left where we literally have nothing to lose. Let's go ruffle some feathers. Let's go see if we can't overtake Arsenal, maybe push United for fifth.
I mean, they were pushing for Champions League up until that Liverpool game, which was about a month
ago.
They
they've just given up and went, you know what, best option is, I'll just collect my paycheck every week and, mentally.
Daydream about the Bahamas when the fans show up.
Drinking my little fruity drink with me.
But I mean, it's the players for Everton that are playing poorly. I mean, Ross Barkley, he came on it in the second half.
I don't even rate that guy. Honestly.
He was horrible.
He's so dog.
Horrible.
I mean, he's terrible.
Well, I'm glad everybody else has woken up to that. I've never liked Ross Barkley.
No, you know what? He looks like he's one great game every 12 games. That's just not enough.
He looks like he's down the chip shop too much. He's just built like a big fatty. Like me, but like, you know.
But he gets paid for doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Everton, sum it up. Everton, poor.
But hey, Swansea, let's give them credit, because it seems like we're almost like on the whole train here and we're like hating on Everton. Swansea, you know what? Since they've come into the league, which has probably been about a decade now, they've been one of the better teams to watch. They've been great at passing the ball
around.
Plus
they're Welsh.
So it's good that they're Welsh. Is it six years now? Is it? I don't even know. But.
Yeah.
All right. Wales.
You know, and they still got, you know, Leon Britton played in that game. Leon Britton has played for the club for, I think it's like 14 years, something like that, when they were in the old third division. So he's been in every single league. They've been in the Premier League for six seasons now, yeah.
But if you could have your choice, Hull or Swansea, which is basically all the options, who would you rather see up for the better of the league next year?
Swansea.
I disagree.
No, I've always.
See, I would say Swansea as well.
I'm on the whole bandwagon. I like the manager.
I like the manager. Marcus, but I think historically, I mean, what? How many years have Hull been up now?
Well, they just go up and down.
They're just up and down. You know, there's certain clubs that do that. Yeah. And Hull's one of those. Swansea, it's like, hey, maybe they're like a mainstay in the league nowadays. Well, hey, I guess we'll have to watch the last couple of weeks to find out.
All right, so next game, Leicester City versus Watford.
Good result, this. 3-0. The Foxes.
The champions finally looking like champions.
Watford, right. I tell you, Watford. They're lucky they had that decent patch in December and early January, because they've been woeful the last like 5 weeks. Woeful. Mm. Ever since that one game, I can't remember who they played, but they lost, and Troy Deeney's trying to like, you know, say sorry to the fans after a game.
Right.
I can't remember who it was against, but it was only like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Just shocking.
Well, they lost to Hull.
Yeah,
they've lost four of their last five. They lost to Tottenham, they lost to Hull, they lost to Liverpool, and now they've lost to Leicester. They only beat Swansea.
Right.
So
it must have been the Hull game.
Yeah, I think it was the Hull game. But yeah, again, they're all right. They're safe. But again, ruffle some feathers, throw something in there, like, you know. But again, great result for Leicester.
Leicester have really pulled back.
Leicester are in the top half of the table.
Yeah, they're ninth.
You know what I like about it? You know what I like about it is they're now. All the talk was Leicester until Ranieri left, right. And even 3 weeks after Ranieri left, no one's talking about them now. Like, they're kind of flying under the radar, and that's great for them because they'll get out of this season, probably finishing in ninth or tenth, and you know what? They'll go, okay, put that one behind us. We'll go
start afresh.
Yeah. So fair play to them.
So what do you see Leicester doing going into next year? You have to get two new center backs. I mean,
yeah,
Huth can't just cut it.
No. They need two new centre backs. They probably need another central midfielder.
They never really replaced.
No, they probably need a decent wide man, and probably another centre forward.
Do you see anyone leaving?
Yep.
I mean, in terms of players that they want to keep, like, is Vardy, Mahrez, or is there still going to be the same? I think Vardy stays
because of his age.
Yeah,
I think Vardy stays just because of his age. Why would he go anywhere else? They gave him a new contract, pay him $100,000 a year. I mean,
sorry.
And, like, you know, 3 years ago he was being an electrician or a plumber or something, like, part-time. I mean, you know, he should be just fine with that. Like, give him another – he's probably got another three decent seasons in him.
And Mahrez finally showed up. His goal was a nice little toe poke. It was reminiscent of last year. It was – Good to see him finally do something.
He'll go, and it won't be to a Premier League side.
You think he's leaving?
Mahrez,
gone.
Yeah. You don't think Mark's going to be... Oh, he's coming to Arsenal.
No.
If he wants him to go to Arsenal, that just shows where Arsenal is these days. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I think
Is he better than anyone that starts for Arsenal? Not really. You know, he's a good bench player, sure. He'd be good depth.
I think he'll go to France or Spain.
Spain, yeah.
Hmm. All right, so Liverpool versus Southampton. That was the other game today, other than the United game we talked about.
What a cracker this was.
Wasn't it?
Loved it.
The mentality of Southampton, there seems to be this mentality of, like, the 60th, 70th minute, Southampton were happy to run the clock down for a draw.
Yeah.
And even though Liverpool didn't win the game, I did feel they were lucky. They were going for gun, basically.
Yeah.
And you could see the frustration in Klopp's face.
They played all right, Liverpool.
They didn't really have any chances in the first half. Honestly, I would say that Southampton did a really good job playing the passing lanes.
Their setup was really good.
Defensive third, I should say.
Yeah, their midfield bridged the gap between their defenders really, really well. So there was no pockets for Coutinho. He hardly touched the ball in the first half. Never once got behind a midfielder and faced up to a centre-back or a wide person.
I think they had one shot.
Origi's touch was poor in the final third. You know, Emre Can didn't make those runs. Yeah, it was real stagnant kind of first half. I don't think it was a very good game.
What do you think of Mignolet? Do you think that was a foul on him? Like, you know, when he came out... He came out... to get the handle, yeah, outside the box. He was very, very lucky.
Yeah, came running out, basically elbows it out of play. He was about a yard outside the box, but Lino, who was stood literally about 10 feet away from him, went, no, I didn't see it.
Crazy how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know what he was looking at. But that went on. I'm pretty sure that Southampton didn't have a shot in the game. I don't remember Southampton once pulling the trigger in that game. That says a lot about, okay, Southampton came with a game plan, shut up shop, we'll take a point at Anfield, because they've been pretty poor recently as well, Southampton, so good for them. Then it was really unlucky penalty, I thought. Stevens turns around. I think he can get his arm out of the way, but he turns around, it bounces off his elbow, back to the keeper.
Wasn't even the elbow? It almost looked like the shoulder, almost.
Yeah, somewhere in between, wasn't it?
But, and then Foster had that little bit of a confrontation with Milner.
I'm totally fine with that. Play the mind games, get in their head, and then, hey, you know what? Milner, he does the same thing every single time he takes a penalty kick. I was happy to see someone save one of them. He just kicks it to the bottom left every single time with power. And you know what? It wasn't very accurate, and it was an easy save in the end.
It's a long way down for a big fella like that to get down, but great hand once he got there.
Yeah. See, when Foster went in on him, like, almost like head-to-head, I'm like, oh, dear.
But again, what does it say about Liverpool as well, when with 14 minutes to go, you bring on Daniel Sturridge? Like, For me, Firmino isn't a player that's going to play for 85 minutes, not very well, and then suddenly give you that magic moment. But I'm thinking like Ibra, Harry Kane, players that sometimes you feel like, oh, they're missing from a game, and then boom, in one instant, it's 1-0, job done. Firmino isn't that kind of player. So once you get to the 75th minute and this guy's done absolutely nothing, why? I don't get it. Like, for me, 60 minutes, 0-0, at home against Southampton is when you stick Daniel Sturridge on. Because when he came on, he had three pretty decent chances. Obviously, he didn't score. But again, 15 minutes is not a long time for a Premier League striker to come in and kind of make his mark.
You got to do the substitution and, around the half with half an hour left.
Got to be in.
Give
out.
Him some chance.
Got to be in at the hour mark. Yeah. Do you think he goes? Sorry, I know you're about to move on. Do you think Sturridge goes this year?
I don't think.
I would leave if I were Sturridge. Yeah, he's not getting nearly enough playing time.
But he's not going to go to a top four club. He's not going. I think he's.
I'd leave England.
Right, go to play in Spain or somewhere like that.
Italy. I think he could play well in Italy.
Well, yeah, they're rubbish league, well. So yeah, send them there.
But
yeah,
the thing is, the money's not there. That's the problem.
Yeah, when you think about Daniel Sturridge, let's look at who he's played for. He's played for Chelsea, he's played for Man City, now he's played for Liverpool. Do you see a Sturridge? Okay, this is one for you. Do you see a Sturridge going to Arsenal?
It's like Welbeck, you know?
I think he's better than Welbeck.
I put the two of them in like the same bucket.
They're both injury prone. That's the problem, I think. You never get 38 games out of them.
That's not what Arsenal needs. I mean, Arsenal needs a striker, sure, but they need someone that's reliable. I think Sturridge is the opposite of reliable.
You know,
he's a head case.
Do you know where I could see Sturridge going?
Everton?
Let's hear it.
Tottenham.
No.
Honestly.
I hope not.
I can
really?
See it. Yep.
Because this is what I think about Sturridge, is that Sturridge wants to start. And so once Sturridge becomes the second choice guy, his mentality is not,
he's not interested.
I'm not a bench guy, come off the bench guy. So he needs to go somewhere he's going to be the number one.
And that's not Tottenham.
That's not Tottenham, no.
I think Everton or somewhere like that, maybe.
If Lukaku were to leave, that would make a lot of sense.
Do you really think that he's going to cross the Merseyside and go from Liverpool?
I don't
think
he cares.
I don't
think he cares, but the reality is I don't think Liverpool would sell them to Everton.
Right.
I think that'd be interesting, but I definitely don't see him at Liverpool.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the games of this week. I'll pass them over to you for a second for Champions League, but I'll run through the table quickly. Chelsea are sitting in 81, Tottenham in 77, Liverpool are here in third and 70, Man United, or Man City even. I wish it was Man United.
You wish, yeah.
69, and fifth Man United in 65. Sixth Arsenal, 63 points. Everton in 7th and 58. West Bromwich Albion in 8th, 45 points. And 9th, Leicester City, pulled it back, 43. Brilliant. And then Southampton are sitting in 42. So you were saying there were some results from, obviously, Champions League.
Yeah, Champions League had some really good games this week. And if you were to tune into two games this week, it probably would have, well, two of three, I would say. The two of the best games were the ones we're going to go through here. Real Madrid beat Atletico Madrid in a derby 3-0. Ronaldo had a fantastic game getting the hat trick, and it was a comprehensive win by Real Madrid. Atletico has met Real Madrid in the final a few times of the Champions League, and they played really well and probably should have won if one of them, if not both of them.
Yeah.
And you know what? That team didn't show up on Tuesday. Real Madrid just slaughtered them. It was comprehensive. And hey, you know what? Ronaldo, I think he really has cemented himself as being probably the best player this year. And he should win the Ballon d'Or, especially after the Portuguese won the Europa Cup. And I think they're probably the favorites going into the final, even though, you know, we haven't even done the second legs yet. That's just the first leg. And then the other game on Wednesday, Juve played Monaco, and it's the typical showing for Juve. They shut down Mbappe. He had a few good chances, but overall, Higuain, after having a slow start, not looking too great, he had two goals to really get the victory for Juve, 2-0 overall. Juve looked very, very good. Juve shut down Barcelona on the way to get here, and the people are already talking about the final, even though there's a leg to play on in both of these games that I just said, and that's, can Juve shut down Real Madrid just like they did to Barcelona? Because it's looking like they may have the best defensive team in Europe, other than maybe Chelsea, who obviously aren't even in the Champions League. So I think Juve are the dark horse. They're the team I'll be rooting for in the final personally. Not a big yeah. Real Madrid fan, and we'll see what happens. But the second legs are coming up. And they, you know what? Monaco's got a lot to fight for, and as do Atletico Madrid, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so we do have fixtures this week, Monday through Sunday. We are off next Sunday, Mother's Day, so we will run through all these results the following week. But we aren't here for next week. As I said, it's Mother's Day, so we're taking the week off. But
love you, Mom.
Actually, you know what? Mother's Day's different in the UK. It's in March.
It was about 2 months ago.
Yeah,
it?
You, kind of you guys missed it, huh?
Yeah, do I send two cards? I mean, she knows, and then the other one, she's like, well, what's going on here? All right, so Monday, obviously tomorrow, Chelsea versus Middlesbrough. I mean,
that'll be works. Chelsea, yeah, 2-3-0 probably.
Wednesday, Southampton versus Arsenal.
I mean, based on how Southampton looked, you would expect Arsenal to win.
You'd expect, that's the thing, though, isn't it? You'd expect Arsenal to win, but who knows? I'll go 1-1.
I think, to be honest, I think Southampton will beat Arsenal. I think Arsenal are going into that game thinking they played amazing against United, and I don't think they did play that great. They beat us, we give them that, but yeah, I don't think it was good, a great United team that they played against. Anyway, so Friday, Everton versus Watford.
I mean, both teams are on the beach, aren't they? Are they even going to turn up for the game?
They are doing beach soccer these days.
Yeah. Maybe they should just play volleyball.
They're bring in some sand, and yeah, we'll have the old school
flip-flop football.
Yeah.
West Brom versus Chelsea. So Chelsea playing Monday and Friday.
Yeah, it sounds like if my math is right, Chelsea can wrap the league up if they beat West Brom. If they beat Middlesbrough, beat West Brom, because you guys don't play till Sunday.
If they beat West Brom, I mean, that's not...
Yeah,
I mean,
if they beat Middlesbrough and they beat West Brom, it's done.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
That's sobering. Like, you know.
It's Tottenham United in a game that means something, but not a lot.
Manchester City versus... We're obviously into Saturday now. Manchester City versus Leicester.
I fancy Leicester in that.
Me too. Bournemouth versus Burnley.
Whoa. Let's rewind. You guys think that Leicester are going to beat City?
I would hope they do.
4-0 last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, listen to you guys. You guys are such United fans. City are going to win that.
Bournemouth versus Burnley?
It's in Manchester. If it's in the King Power, I'd give you a chance.
That don't matter.
Bournemouth versus Burnley.
I think both teams will shake hands before the game and be like, nobody touched the ball. 0-0. Thanks very much.
Middlesbrough versus Southampton.
I'm actually going to go in. Middlesbrough will be relegated by then, probably, but we'll win 1-0.
So here's the dark horse, right? Sunderland versus Swansea. Because I think...
Fixture.
I think Sunderland, Sunderland could surprise us.
Sunderland could just be like, we're just going to beat everybody.
Take everyone out. Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Stoke versus Arsenal.
I'll go. Is it at Stoke?
It's at Stoke. I think Stoke will be a draw.
Yeah, I'll go draw.
Okay, then Sunday we have Spurs versus United, 5-1 to United.
I'm gonna go.
When was the last time you guys scored 5 goals in a game? It's been a while.
I'm gonna go to the pub and cry, pretty much.
That will be a 0-0 absolute snooze fest.
I see Tottenham scoring at least. It's at home.
Crystal Palace versus Hull City.
I'll have to win, but I think that might be one that nail might be in the coffin there.
West Ham versus Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
all right, guys, so we're not here next week. As I said, we're off for Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day in advance for everyone. And we will see you the week after, the Sunday after. And hopefully, Chelsea will not have won it by then.
Fingers crossed.
All right, guys, take it easy. Have a nice week.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.